That blesses everyone and it all. That blesses everyone. Welcome one and all to our Friday night church service on this beautiful evening of October 10th, 2025. Before we begin, let us sing our opener song. It's entitled Holy Sabbath Day of Rest. Oh, by your master richly blessed, God created and divine, set aside for holy time. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest. By your God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity.
Seek not pleasures of this earth, with its folly, noise, and mirth. There are better things in store over on the other shore. Yes, the holy Sabbath rests by your God divinely blessed. It to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity.
Go ahead, dear brother.
Thank you. As the Sabbath draweth on, Friday eve at set of sun, Christian household then should meet, sing and pray at Jesus' feet. Yes, the holy Sabbath rests by our God divinely blessed. It to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity.
Asking him for saving grace, also victory in the race, unto God, unto all, and to help us by his power, to keep holy every hour. Yes, this holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be through our all eternity. Sabbath blessing, everyone.
Let's have a word of prayer, dear ones, and who would like to offer that for us? If anyone wishes to, please go ahead.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work in the Sabbath day, Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people that's in the Sabbath and the people that's not in the Sabbath. Please protect the new things we're going to learn in the Sabbath. And please protect me and everybody. And please protect everybody that I know. In name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. We'll welcome you once to our Friday Sabbath services of October 10, 2025. Our storybook is entitled Prophets and Kings. We'll be continuing chapter 39 in the Court of Babylon. And we'll be starting at page 482, paragraph 2, continuing, Daniel and his associates had been trained by their parents to have a strict temperance. From last week, he read about when they were taken away from their home along with thousands of other Israelite captives. And they were taken to Babylon, which was the capital city of Chaldea. And although they were taken away from their home, they remembered everything that they had been taught, so that way they wouldn't be tempted to fall into sin or even to pay any homage to the heathen gods that their captors have worshipped. So here's where we begin for today. Continuing. Daniel and his associates have been trained by their parents to habits of strict temperance. They had been taught that God would hold them accountable for their capabilities, and that they must never dwarf or enfeeble their powers. This education was to Daniel's companions the means of their preservation amidst the demoralizing influences of the court of Babylon. Strong were the temptations surrounding them in that corrupt and luxurious court, but they remained uncontaminated. No power, no influence could sway them from the principles they had learned in early life by a study of the word and works of God. From here, we read from this paragraph that Daniel and his three friends have been trained from their parents in so doing everything that God has told them to do. By being true to the Ten Commandments and other rules was that God wanted them to follow. And that's how they remain in to their true selves. And that and how they remain in faithful servants, even though they were in a heathen country. And by sticking by the principles those that they were taught, they were able to handle whatever things came toward them. And also to be aware of all the evil things they'd be witnessing as they entered into this new land. We have our next paragraph, and who would like to read it? Please feel free to do so.
Had Daniel so desired, he might have found in his surroundings a plausible excuse, one that sounded good, for departing from strictly temperate habits. He might have argued that, dependent as he was on the king's favor and a subject of his power, there was no other course for him to pursue than to eat the food the king ate the king's food and drink of his wine. For should he adhere to the divine teachings, he would offer the king and possibly offend the king and possibly lose his position and his life. Should he disregard the commandment of God, of the Lord, he would retain the favor of the king and secure for himself intellectual advantages and flattering worldly prospects.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jay.
Daniel did not hesitate. The approval of God, God was dear to him than favor of the most powerful
earthly pontiff.
Dearer than
potentate. Life. That's potentate.
Thank you, Brother Potentate, dear than life itself. He determined to stand firm in his integrity. Let the result be what it might. Proposed in his heart that he would not
defile
himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he had drank. In this resolve, he was supported by his three companions. Prophets and Kings, 483, paragraph 1.
Amen. I'm sorry, the text is very small because we're reading from a small device, so thank you for giving her the word, dear Brother Dick, because we weren't able to see it. I had to expand the screen for her a little bit so she's able to read it.
I see.
Amen. So, well, we see from here that when and Daniel and his friends were then being brought to the king's court, that they were supposed to be given the king's meat in order for them to be in service to his palace. And to be part of his council. But unfortunately, Daniel and his friends couldn't eat this food because all of this food was not what God intended for them to eat. And before we go on to the next paragraph, does anybody have any questions, any comments, anything that they want to share before we continue?
Yes. The king thought he was giving them the best because he wouldn't eat anything less than what he thought was best. He just didn't know about the health laws and probably offered him a roasted pig. And of course, that's forbidden by God. And to drink his wine was also not acceptable. All right.
Amen. That's true. If Daniel's friends did just escape even to the king's suggestion and just ate it, then they would be probably very sick and very ill and very weak. Then they wouldn't be a good service in his court at all. And they'd be also lose their favor with God. But plus they'd be forgetting everything that they're parents taught them, but they just gave into what their captors were just giving them. In order for it to be still in service with God as well as the king, he had to avoid what they were being served. Continuing. In reaching this decision, the Hebrew youth did not act presumptuously, but in firm reliance upon God. They did not choose to be singular, but they would be so rather than dishonor God. Should they compromise with wrong in this instance by yielding to the pressure of circumstances, their departure from principle would weaken their sense of right and their abhorrence of wrong. The first wrong step will lead to others until their connection with heaven is severed. They would be swept away by temptation. Who would like
one temptation to yielded to makes it easier to yield to the next one.
God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs, and the request that he might not defile himself was received with respect. Yet the prince hesitated to grant it. I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink, he explained to Daniel. But why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Prophets and Kings, page 483, paragraph 3.
Amen. Who will want to read this next small paragraph? Daniel then appealed to Melzar, the officer in special charge of the Hebrew youth, requesting that they might be excused from eating the king's meat and drinking his wine. He asked that the matter be testified 10 days trial. The Hebrews youth during this time being supplied with simple food while their companions ate the king's dainties. So what these three are implying that even though Daniel and his friends have been served the king's meat and the wine, they were not supposed to be eating or drinking them. Eating and drinking them would make them not only be ill and sick and weak, they also be disobeying God's law of not eating these things, for these things are also have been given to the false gods that the Chaldeans worship. And by if they eat even one piece of it, then they'd be given honor to all these pagan idols that their captors worship. So they had to inform Melzar, who was given in charge of educating them. So he was considered like the teacher of Daniel and his friends and the other for young students that they were teaching to be in the king's court as his advisors. So by this test, by giving them like pulse, or in other words, there's just nothing but vegetables and grain and also you're drinking water instead of the king's wine, they'd be compared to the other students who were eating what the king served them. Oh, and Daniel's friends knew that this is what God expected them to do, and this is what they need to do in order to stay healthy, and then how they can make themselves avoid getting sick, and also being devoid of anything involving the pagan idols that the Babylonians worshipped.
One has to wonder, what did the rest of the Israelite captives do in that circumstance? They probably went ahead and enjoyed what the king provided, said, man, we've never had any stuff like this. But they are forgotten in biblical history because they didn't stand for the truth.
I would like to share something on that paragraph 4. Just by listening to what is happening to Daniel and his three evil friends, the beauty that I see through the reading is that the Lord sent them forth, but also allow another individual that was in their midst, that's supposed to instruct them, to still have a spirit of cooperation with them. Because imagine if it would have been another person other than Melzar, someone that just had no mercy upon the slaves. The Lord not only gave them someone that they could have the trust for them to be able to even offer that they would like to do what they was needed in order for them to maintain their hearts and their mind and their spirit being in captivity to where the Holy Spirit could speak to them. So imagine the bravery that Daniel had to just come out and just give a condition in order for them not only to show them that they can be able to be much useful in the manner that they will be able to sustain their diet and also whatever it is that the Lord was preparing them to do. By him going forward and just by faith, decided to speak, and at the same time, he was in temptation, but also he was trying to show them that if they will do what the Lord intended for them to do, there will be a blessing to them as well, because they will be much equipped to be able to stand what they will require to do. At the same time, you need to have that wisdom that the Lord allowed you to move in a way that it won't be rude, it won't be like offensive, but with the courage that if they will stand on doing the principle of God, God will give them the strength and the spirit that they need to stand in such a time as that. And that is the same thing that is going to happen in these days. We have been given the responsibility not only to keep our bodies in proper and helpful manner, that the Lord will be able to use us, but also to educate those that may not know. And even though that he was in that position as a slave, I don't know, but at the same time, they still have the exposure to a God that they didn't know. So as Daniel stood firm to principle, he was given the gospel. And that is the same thing that we have that blessed assurance that if we try our best to do what the Lord wants us to do, the Lord will use those things them as well to bring the message to those that are in our surrounding. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. I wanted to share that on that also too, dear sister, is that what they did in not just sharing the gospel through their actions, but they also continue to stand on the principles that were embedded in them as children, and they were raised up as, and they did not shrink from the responsibility that was on their shoulders before the Lord. I see that their love for God and their desire to please him also, to not mingle themselves by giving in to the temptations of their surroundings, that is very much what we have to do. So I very much agree with you on that, that we have to do that in this end times right now. Make sure we know what we stand on and then stand on it and don't move.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I also like to share a comment of my very own. It's continuing from the geology book. It'll be pretty brief, so we can continue on to the next. It speaks about igneous rock. It is the kind of rock that you'll find in a volcano. It says here a good place to find igneous rock is near a volcano. At one time, the volcano poured out lava. Lava is melted rock. Lava or melted molten rock sometimes pours out of a crack in the side of a volcano. It runs down the side of the volcano and over everything in its way. This melted rock reminds us that a day is coming when the elements shall melt with fervent heat, as said in 2 Peter 3:10. After a time, the molten lava cools and becomes hard. It is then called igneous rock. This can remind us of how God will form the new earth after its purifying fiery trial. Trials can be very hot, like Daniel's friends experienced, but they remained faithful in practicing self-denial, and their character became as firm as the hard lava. The Lord will have a people as true as steel, and with faith as firm as the granite rock. Lava flowing out of a volcano can also remind us of words coming out of a man's mouth. Luke 6:45 says, a good man of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man the evil treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is evil, for the abundance of the heart of the mouth speaketh. Daniel's heart was warm with love for those who took him captive. This is why his words melted Melzar's heart. May the Holy Spirit, which appear like tongues of fire to the disciples, warm our hearts and guide our tongues, that we also might have the power to persuade other people by our conversation or example. Volcanoes can also remind us of what happens when people do not deny self and allow themselves to get upset by what someone else has done. Just as the hot, fiery lava comes from deep inside the volcano, burning words come forth from a selfish, angry heart. And the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. It set on fire the course of nature and set on fire of hell. As said in James 3:6. Continuing, we're now on to the next paragraph, and who would like to read it?
Melzar, though fearful that by complying with this request, he would incur the displeasure of the king, nevertheless consented, and Daniel knew that his case was won. At the end of the 10 days' trial, the result was found to be the opposite of the prince's fears. Their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. In personal appearance, the Hebrew youth showed a marked superiority over their companions. As a result, Daniel and his associates were permitted to continue their simple diet during their entire course of training.
Amen. So when Daniel and his friend followed the simple diet God had intended for them to have, they were rewarded by looking a lot more healthier than the other students who've been eating rich food. But by denying their self, of denying their own wants and also avoiding not giving to temptation, this was their good result, and they continued to eat the way God intended for them. He just made it not only healthier, but much smarter than the other students. And plus, that's always is the good reward when one denies self. By putting in their own desires aside, there's always a good result that will come in the end. No matter what temptations that may come our way, be they especially bad, by avoiding them at all times, and by staying true to God's word, all things will work for the good, as that's what happened with Daniel and his friends here. We now continue the next paragraph. Would anyone like to read?
Continuing, for 3 years, the Hebrew youth studied to acquire the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. During this time, they held fast their allegiance to God and depended constantly upon his power. With their habits of self-denial, they united earnest of purpose, diligence, and steadfastness. It was not pride or ambition that had brought them into the king's court, into companionship with those who neither knew nor feared God. They were captives in a strange land, placed there by infinite wisdom, separated from home influence and sacred association. They sought to acquire themselves credible for the honor of their downtrodden people and for the glory of him whose servants they were. It is so amazing. I could see what really happened also when the Lord trained Joseph with his father. And at the time, they didn't even know that the training that he was going to have there was going to be a blessing when he became a captive and went to Egypt. Having the ability to learn the Egyptian language. Here we have the Hebrew boys as well, acquiring the language and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So the preparations that were done prior were allowing them to be candidate. And I'm so happy to know that when the Lord had actually chosen them from these homes, he was also part of their training. And when the Lord did require it, he went and seek them for the work that they were supposed to do. It also happened with Jesus. All of what the Father had separated, Jesus went, and what the Father was drawing to him, they were being prepared as well, like the fishermen and Matthew and all of the different disciples, that while they were being trained by God, when it was time for them to be able to be called, to stand for that time, it was able to do so by the preparation that they have. What a blessing. It could happen to all of us during this time, that we can be able to open our hearts and our mind, that whatever way that the Lord calls us to do, that we can be able to stand as well as these men of like passion. I just wanted to share that in our...
Even his, that's true, and since self-denial is the main lesson in Daniel's story, if we put aside our own desires in order to serve God and follow all the rules and all commandments he gives us, there's no way any temptation that may come our way, no matter how big it may be, though we won't stand. And as long as we keep on asking God for guidance and for help and for his help, to have the courage to do what is right, there will always be good reward for the thing that happened for us, all because we trust in him instead of our own strength and our own wisdom. And now we continue to the next paragraph. The Lord regarded with approval the firmness and self-denial of the Hebrew youth and their purity of motive, and his blessing attended them. He gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. The promise was fulfilled. Then that honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2:30. As Daniel clung to God with unwavering trust, the spirit of prophetic power came upon him. While receiving instruction from man in the duties of court life, he was being taught by God to read the mysteries of the future and to record for coming generations. The figures and symbols, events covering the history of this world till the close of time. And I want to give another comment from the geology book that goes along with this part of the study. And it reads, it's stir up a handful of dirt in a glass of water and notice how it becomes cloudy. That's an fictional experiment, but if anyone will want to do that, they're free to either try it for themselves. And watch as it settles to the bottom of the glass. In time, the water will be clear again. When trials come upon us, it is hard to see clearly of what will happen. We need to continue to deny self, and God will help us. All will become clear in time. The dirt that settles to the bottom of the glass is called sediment. From this word comes the name of the second group of rocks, sedimentary rocks. The big rocks settle first to the bottom of a stream. Next, the sand and the mud sink. In this way, different layers are built up. They press down and begin to change. As tiny grains of sand begin to stick together, they become sandstone. Sandstone is a sedimentary rock. Pressure is one of the things that causes people to change. It is one of the means God uses to firm up our characters. And it is also one of the means Satan uses to try to change us. For instance, rock music is one of the pressures he brings to bear upon young people to lower them to the dust. Later on in the book of Daniel, we will see how Satan used music to try to get the Hebrew children to bow to idols. But that will be for another day. Most sedimentary rock was made underwater, especially during the time of the Great Flood. This can remind us how trials are under the direction of the water of life, as are the trials that Daniel and his three friends passed through, and as are the trials we must pass through. Isaiah 43:1-3 reads, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." By denying himself, no matter how far we go down, our faith, our dignity, our strength, it won't go down with us, all because we put our own wants aside and put things God needs from us above everything. And by having self-denial in our lives, that's how the things that happen to us, be they good or bad, that will develop in our characters, so that way we can be stronger, smarter, and more helpful, both with God and with humankind. But now we come to the next paragraph.
I had a comment.
Yes, Brother Michael? Go on ahead.
It was a comment actually in one of the previous paragraphs that Sister White gave, where she made the comment they did not choose to do this to be singular. They did it because they ought to obey God rather than men. And so often we're put in situations where for the sake of conscience, we have to go against the grain. But we're not doing that just to be singular. We're doing that because we have to. I remember when Ellen White in the Great Controversy was talking about the French Revolution. I actually think it was a chapter before that about the Reformation in France. And she said how the Christians in France were the best patriots. And of course the Protestants, these Christians, were driven out of France by the persecuting Catholics. And I thought that was kind of interesting how she said that they were patriots of their own country. As Christians, in the Bible it says we should honor the king and that we should obey the laws of the land and pray for the rulers of our nation. And we are supposed to be loyal to our nation as long as that nation does not disobey God. But in matters of conscience, we have to obey God rather than man. And I remember when it came to Uriah Smith's book on Daniel and Revelation, commenting on chapter 3, he referenced how Daniel's three friends, they came for dedication of the image because they were ordered to. That was in their conscience. But it was outside of their conscience to bow down to the image, and so that they refused to do. So they tried to comply with the king's wishes as far as possible. But when it came to a law that outright went against God, that they simply could not do, and they refused to do. But they refused to do it they're trying not to do it in an arrogant, proud way, but instead in the way that this is what God has said, we ought to obey God, we ought to obey God rather than man, and so we simply cannot do this. And that's the way we should be, since it was tact. and love. And hopefully we can touch the hearts of those rulers, although unfortunately often those rulers' hearts are not touched, but at times they are.
That's true. That's even the case is for Daniel and many other characters just that we know of in the Bible who've done the same. Joseph did that for the Pharaoh. Paul did it for King Agrippa. And many of, even, I bet even Esther or even did the same thing for the king. But we'll be reading about her story from another time. Amen. And just like Jesus before Pilate. And also John the Baptist before Herod, and Jeremiah with King Hezekiah. Even Elijah even spoke against even the wicked rulers. Of course, Ahab and Jezebel still wouldn't be moved since they were still clung to worshiping false idol Baal. So you're true with that, Brother Michael. Not everyone, no matter how high in power or position they may be, will hear the truth. Some will be convinced to learn from God, like Nebuchadnezzar, and others will just disregard the thought, just like Ahab, Jezebel, Herod, and Pilate, and even Agrippa, although he was close to be wanting to be Christian, but he said that he was almost persuaded. And also, amen, Brother Joel, also Pharaoh, except the Pharaoh in Joseph's time and gave in to worshiping the one true God. But too bad the other Pharaohs was following him didn't do the same thing. Now we continue to the next paragraph.
When the time came for the youth in training to be tested, the Hebrews were examined with other candidates for the service of the kingdom. But among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their keen comprehension, their wide knowledge, their choice and exact language testified to the unimpaired strength and vigor of their mental powers. In all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Therefore stood they before the king. The interesting thing to me is if he found them 10 times better, why he didn't call them when it came to his dream. He called the other guys first.
I would like to touch upon what our dear brother Mike was talking about. Yes, we know that that is going to be part of our future. But for us to be able to be commandment keepers, that's why we can't continue on standing on principle if the king or whoever that is in power, the Lord is using. In Romans 13, the Lord is the one that is responsible to place someone in power or even remove them. But we as believers, we have to also show that we are commandment keepers. Only if it's going completely towards what the Lord wants us to be able to stand in this world and what things are supposed to go according to a prophecy. But we also have Acts chapter 5:29. As a good counsel and guidance, that whenever there is something that they want to be able to allow us to take part of, 5:29 says, then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Only if it goes completely against the principle and the foundation of our pillars, this is a perfect scripture that we can hold on to. There are going to be many times that we're going to be placed in circumstances where our faith will be tested. But it's better to be under the hands of God than a man that will not be stable. Today, he could do the right thing. Tomorrow, he may not. But by standing in God's platform, we can bless assured that the Holy Spirit will not guide us wrong. And Jesus will be with us wherever we may be. I just wanted to be able to share that.
Amen. And would anyone like to read the next paragraph?
At the court of Babylon were gathered representatives from all lands, men of the highest talent, men the most richly endowed with natural gifts, and possessed of the broadest culture that the world could bestow. Yet among them all, the Hebrew youth were without a peer. In physical strength and beauty, in mental vigor and literary attainment, they stood unrivaled. The erect form, the firm, elastic step, the fair countenance, the undimmed senses, the untainted breath, all were so many certificates of good habits, insignia of the nobility with which nature honors those who are obedient to her laws. Prophets and Kings, page 485, paragraph 2.
Now we continue into the next paragraph. In acquiring the wisdom of the Babylonians, Daniel and his companions were far more successful than their fellow students, but their learning did not come by chance. They attained their knowledge by the faithful use of their powers under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They placed themselves in connection with the source of all wisdom, making the knowledge of God the foundation of their education. In faith, they prayed for wisdom. And they lived their prayers. They placed themselves where God could bless them. They avoided that which would weaken their powers and improve every opportunity to become intelligent in all lines of learning. They followed the rules of life that could not fail to give them strength of intellect. They sought to acquire themselves, to acquire knowledge for one purpose, that they might honor God. They realized that in order to stand as representatives of true religion amid the false religions of heathenism, they must have clearness of intellect and must perfect a Christian character. And God himself was their teacher, constantly praying, conscientiously studying, keeping in touch with the unseen. They walked with God, as did Enoch. Sarvedis, page 186, paragraph 1. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions before we continue? Oh, I'm here from dear brother Michael. We read, if we are brought before courts, let it not be something actually wrong. Let it not be for being traitors or speaking evil of dignitaries. Let it be preaching the word of God. Amen. May that be true. Just like Paul, who was brought before Agrippa and in synagogues, and even the other 12 disciples was before him. There might be some times that we may be brought before courts, and they might be given either testimony or trial. You might have to give God's word out if the people need to hear it, and if it be essential either for their salvation or from our viewpoint to just give out what we need in order to help our case, either with ourselves or with other people in particular. All being said, all we're doing is just speaking. We are as voice and messengers for God. as that was the case for Daniel and his friends, and in this new nation that they were in. They were meant to be not just advisors to Nebuchadnezzar, they were also meant to be speakers for the Lord, that even the heathen king may know and understand him, and just as their people do. Let us continue the next paragraph, and who would like to read it?
Okay. True success in any line of work is not the result of chance or accident or destiny. It is the outworking of God's providences. The reward of faith and discretion, of virtue and perseverance. Fine mental qualities and a high moral tone are not the result of accident. God gives opportunities. Success depends upon the use made of them. PK 486.2.
I want to share something on that that was just spoken of, because it ties into a thought that came to my mind in the previous paragraph. And it is in the sentence of, in faith they prayed and they lived their prayers. I believe that is very important to pray. It should be like breathing, really, and like drinking fresh water. However, I believe it's also very important to not just pray. We have to walk in believing that those prayers will be answered. And so therefore, I see that we should exercise with all due diligence that God has given us strength to do in our several spheres of life, to act upon with our strength to make those prayers come true, because they can come true. God is going to make them come true, but we have to do our part. If I say I want to, like, I'm trying to learn Spanish, okay. If I say, oh, yeah, I want to learn Spanish, want to learn Spanish, want to learn Spanish. Lord, please help me learn Spanish. Please, 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 please. But I don't pick up any book. I don't listen to any lessons. I don't practice with anyone who speaks it. When the opportunity should arise, would it be right for me to even think that the Lord is going to answer that kind of a prayer? That's why I see in there is a very keen thing in there where they live their prayers, because I know I had been down that road before where I pray, but I wasn't doing anything to help myself in that area. Not to exalt self, but to help myself in a godly way so that the Lord could bless with answering the prayer. So I just wanted to make that insight that I saw. Thank you.
Amen. Now we continue on our next paragraph. Well, while God was working in Daniel's companions to will and to do of his good pleasure, they were working out their own salvation. Philippians 2:13. Herein is revealed the outworking of the divine principle of cooperation, without which no true success can be attained. Human effort avails nothing without divine power. And without human endeavor, divine effort is with many of no avail. To make God's grace our own, we must act our part. His grace is given to work in us to will and to do, but never as a substitute for our effort. Prophets and Kings, page 486, paragraph 3. And on that note, there's another lesson from my geology book that goes along with this part. It's more information about the sedimentary rock. It says here that most sedimentary rock is made under the water, but some have developed on dry land. When a volcano blows dust and ash and settles around it, after a while layers build up. This is called volcanic tuff. The different layers are different colors, making this sedimentary rock very colorful and beautiful. This reminds us of a person who practiced self-denial, like Daniel and his three friends did. Little by little, layer upon layer, good habits build up a very beautiful character. Some sedimentary rocks were not made of dirt and sand. Some were made of the shells of sea animals and plants. Millions of animals live in the sea. Some have hard shells that protect the animals that live inside. Snails and clams with their shells. Even some plants have shells. A diatom is a tiny plant that has a shell. Millions and millions of tiny shell diatoms live in the sea. When a plant or animal dies, its shell sinks to the bottom of the sea. The shells are pressed together and the bottom layer turns to stone. This is called limestone. The word limestone tells us the stone is made of lime, or that the lime has become stone. It's another kind of sedimentary rock. This can remind us of how we give ourselves to Jesus and die to self. Our character can then become firm, like limestone. Limestone is a very useful rock. It is one of the things that is used to make concrete, which is what we put on sidewalks today. Limestone teaches us that when we die to self, we become useful to God. Then he can use us to help build up his church. The words self-denial tell us that self has been brought under the control of God and denies things that are not good for self. By Daniel putting the things of God above his own desires, and that's how he has self-denial in his heart. And that can be the same for us. By having in our wants and desires first put aside and having to do what God requires, that is we're self-denying in the things we want or the things that God does need. And what he needs is his word given out to many people so that way they can follow him. He is their only route to salvation. And by they give him prayers, there's paying honors, and there's obeying his commandments and loving him. And these are the steps it takes to follow him and to honor him. And the reward, like given to Daniel and his friends, will just be very virtuous. And then we will read just one more paragraph as the time is running short. So who would like to read this last paragraph?
As the Lord cooperated with Daniel and his fellows, so he will cooperate with all who strive to do his will. And by the impartation of his spirit, he will strengthen every true purpose, every noble resolution. Those who walk in the path of obedience will encounter many hindrances, strong, subtle influence may bind them to the world, but the Lord is able, amen, to render true light, every aged,
Futile.
Thank you. Every agency that works for the defeat of his chosen one. In his strength, they may overcome every temptation, conquer every difficulty. And what a wonderful way to just end our Friday minute. Praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit that would allow us to be able to be equipped in such an hour. I just want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, and a little paragraph from the Spirit of Prophecy. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor hear, ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. In one little small paragraph on Step to Christ, page 109, God intends that even in this life, the truths of his word shall be ever unfolding to his people. There is only one way in which this knowledge can be obtained. We can attain to an understanding of God's word only through the illumination of that Spirit by which the word was given. And I wanted to just share that, dear ones. May you all have a wonderful rest, and may God bless.
Amen. So next time we will be again continuing in the paragraph that reads, God brought Daniel's associates into connection, and that will be for next week. For now, let us have closing prayer, and who will light off of that for us? But before we can get to our prayer, our closing song is entitled From Every Stormy Wind That Blows.
suffering saints, no mercy see. Are there on the eagle's wings we soar, and sin and sadness molest no more, and heaven comes down our souls to greet, while glory crowns the mercy seat.
Amen. Beautiful song. Now let us have closing prayer, dear ones. And who will let offer that for us?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father Jesus, we thank you so much for all that we have learned in this blessed opening of Sabbath on this Friday, the Sabbath beginning the Sabbath and the Bible study. Lord, we pray that you'll please continue to be with us throughout this evening time as we rest and refresh our bodies, please, dear Lord, and renew us and restore us so that during the day portion of Sabbath, we have hearts full of rejoicing and thanksgiving, even as we do now. Lord, be with each and every one of us. And give us the comfort and strength that we need. Please be in our homes, that your holy angels also be there with us. Your Holy Spirit fill our homes. Anyone who is in any need of healing, maybe they are feeling a bit discouraged or in any way not feeling quite well, we pray, Lord, that you'll please be with them. Reassure them that you love them, that you are there for them to heal them, to save them if they will give everything to you, that you created them for something really amazing that we in our finite minds cannot even begin to imagine. We thank you, dear Lord, for the mercy seat. Thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins. Thank you for the resurrection, dear Lord, that you had to justify us in you, not in ourselves. I thank you, O Lord, for dressing us in your righteousness and not our own. We pray, Almighty God, that in everything we say or do, it brings glory to your name, and even as we learned in the reading, that we stand on the godly principles that you are teaching us each and every day, and waver not. In Jesus' name we pray these things, dear Lord. Amen.
Amen. Are there any questions, any comments, any thoughts, testimonies, even another song that you would like to sing? Please feel free to do so. Our dear sister Susan wishes to sing Blessed Assurance. Okay, I believe I have that song in my study somewhere here. But... here we are. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect salvation, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all day long.
Amen. Well, thank you for attending tonight's service, everyone. I'm looking forward to coming in fellowship with you once more tomorrow and next week following. And pray that you may sleep and rest well and be refreshed for tomorrow's service and that God be with you. You, wherever we go. And dear Brother Dick, may you sing us away, please.
Put a little light on the subject here. Yes. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Good night, all.
Amen. Sabbath blessings and good night to all.